welcome to A Chat in a Gar with Monique A.J. Smith. And I hope that, okay, great, you can hear me now. Outstanding, outstanding. And I was talking, but I guess I was talking to myself, but it was great practice, okay, that we had a outstanding Advanced Academy mastermind last Sunday. And the Advanced Academy is the membership program that we have. It's a monthly fee, but it allows me to have one-on-ones with the individual every quarter, and then every month we meet as a group in the mastermind. And it is some truth to the fact that you will move further together than you will alone, because although I can give you some tools to help you individually, you will be more encouraged and empowered when you find out you're not the only person going through certain things and how they handled it. And then collaborations, oh my goodness, the collaborations that have happened within the Advanced Academy has been phenomenal. And so this quarter we are deep diving into the book by Sophia Nelson's The Woman Code. And it reinforces the activities that I've been doing with each member one-on-one. And I talked about two sections. One of them is the personal codes, and the second one is the emotional codes. So it's really important to get a hold of your self-awareness because of the fact that your advancement is really tied to how you deal with disappointment, distractions, negativity, the no's. Just put it this way, when you feel like you're not being accepted. And how you respond to that has a lot to do with your advancement. And this clearly has a lot to do with your perspective about any situation. So that's one of the first things I work with people on. And then we work with your skills and how to promote it. Because actually, you know, how you think about yourself and your promotion has a lot to do with how you're seen and position yourself. And so the great part is that when you sign up, you get immediate access to all of the previous training. So I've been doing this for at least 4 or 5 years now. So it's over 20 lessons in there, and you can do it on your own. So you get the previous training doing your own. You get a one-on-one with me every quarter, and you get the mastermind every month. So if you're interested in that, go to advancewithmoniqueajsmith.info. Again, advancewithmoniqueajsmith.info. And, I really believe that I must be on, when you have a love of something, it just constantly attracts you. So I'm a lover of books, and so I do say reeds are seeds, and that's what we do here. We plant seeds of empowerment. So last time we were together, because last week we had a replay, because I took my mother down there to, up there rather, to the Smithsonian's African American Museum in D.C., and it was fabulous. And I started out in the sports. So I will be sharing some pictures. But a week before that, I had Dr. Jasmine George Williams on the podcast. And again, she's the author of the book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies for Activism, Advocacies, and Liberation. And again, this is a great, great resource for you, because their students are going to come back different. They're going to come back with voices, and that is the way from their perspective. But your administration, your university may not feel like their voices. They may feel like their opposition. So you got to be the bridge in between that. For instance, what I've been saying, you're going to probably hear a student to say that because of their mental health. And what is your policies, procedures for them to submit that claim. Do you have something in place for that? It's not that they can just tell their coach that. You know, what's the documentation that you have, the process, because the university administration are going to want to know how we're going to address that. So are you prepared for that? And that is a part of advocacy. And it really is to get ahead of things and not just react to things. So honestly, by reading this book, and it's a workbook as well, it made me look about the fact that this podcast is a part of advocacy. It serves twofold. One is to show the next generation of who they can be and provide community. And number two, it is to become a lighthouse for those individuals who are lacking diversity and they're not necessarily sure where to go. And I'm here to tell you that I get calls all the time, just this month, about the lack of diversity candidates in a pool and ask for my recommendations. So I have to be honest with you. I go with my clients first. I do. And we shall see what we shall see about the one that just came about this month. I'm really excited about that. But yes. So get this resource. It is on Amazon, or you can go to Dr. Jasmine's site to get an autograph book at bit.ly/drgsbooks. bit.ly/drgsbook. And the name of the book again is Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation. Well, guess what? Both of the issues of significance, athletics, and sports magazine are now live on Amazon. I'm ecstatic about that. And whenever I can catch my breath, we're going to do some Facebook Live with our second issue contributors. And honestly, there's some powerful things happening from this magazine. And what I really love about it is that it is different type of careers in athletic administration with women of color in them. And it is really opening the eyes up of our student athletes of what they can be if they want to go in sports administration. And it's just not coaching. And, you know, kids today say, I want to be athletic director. I said, well, what's the first step you want to take before you get there? And they're not really aware of it. And I am really, really excited because the first issue really did open some doors for social workers. We had the president of the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports, and she gave a great article. And right beside her was another person with a master's degree in sociology and social work, and she's on a college campus. And she was able to use the magazine to show to her supervisors, like, well, why don't we offer a certification in this? And so the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports, they do that. But now that university is going to create their own curriculum for that. And so fast forward, I have a student who's not one of my students, but he's come in contact with me because of another one of my Hampton University students, and says he's looking for an internship. He's a football player, and he's majoring in sociology. And so the Alliance of Social Workers in Sports are having a virtual conference. I think it's might be their fifth or sixth conference they're having, but this one will be virtual, and they need a social media manager. And so he definitely can do that virtually. So do you see how, and it just so happens he happens to be a male, so that I don't discriminate, you know, between male and females. I do have male mentees. So do you see how this magazine is a powerful piece of a bridge that guides people to where we are. So the second one I'm excited to share, that it has one of my longtime mentees, Natasha Wilson, who was an AD in the NAIA, and she just gained a new role within the NAIA executive level. And I'm really on a major NCAA, well, I keep saying NCAA, a major NAIA committee that should expand the view and the approach to minority issues within the structure period of the NAIA. And I'm really proud about that because, again, Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes and I, we dedicated 2017 a whole month to talking about minority women in the NAIA, and there were so few that we had to end up interviewing presidents. And so, again, that was twofold, to show the NAIA that they needed to do something, do some work in the diversity area. And number two, to show the women who listen to the podcast that there are some opportunities in the NAIA. So Natasha Wilson covers her first 90 days, her first 90 days. So if you are new in administration, are you just interested what was going to happen when you get that AD position, what are the things you need to cover first 90 days, you need to get Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine. It's in the second issue on Amazon, And guess what? You know, besties like to do everything together. And so Natasha Wilson's junior high bestie is Dr. Thais Roxborough. You might remember her as a Deb Award winner. She used to work for the NCAA, and she's got some great ventures going on. But what she talks about, which I think is crucial, is how you turn data into dollars. Data into dollars. If you know her, you know she loves the numbers. But how do you turn those numbers into some green duckies, okay? And we're talking about for the university. And I think in many, and I, what I really love most of the time, it's a socialization. Most of the time women run away from the numbers. But when you embrace those numbers and you're able to increase the bottom line, then guess what? You are about to advance very high. Yes. And so, again, go to Amazon, Significance in Athletics and Sports. And I just want to say this other last little piece. I wrote a piece called Pink Slip to Pink Bow. Pink Slip to Pink Bow. And I actually have about 10 GARD members who also have contributed to that one. So, again, go to Amazon, Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine. Hey, you know, the people in the garden are going to help you grow. And when I say about growing, I'm talking about now, is you know, in your financial security. And today and from 2021 and beyond, you need to have more than one income stream. And one of those income streams need to be passive. They need to be working for you when you are asleep. And so Jolene Robinson, who is a retired women's basketball coach, let me take that back, a retired winning basketball coach, has begun to coach women in the financial investor game. And we're just happy that she wants to take the time to show you how to do that. And she's someone I've known for a long time, and I know she's very conservative. And so I have a great trust factor with her. So text her at 980-298-2231. Or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Stepping, STEPPING, the number 2, win.com. And my last commercial, which is one of the most important commercials, being that we are in the name, likeness, and image, and our young people are embarking upon, embarking upon the money while they're still on the collegiate side. So Tawana Smith, she wrote a book called Avoiding the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse. And the curse is going broke before you even know that you got money in the bank. I'm not trying to put a curse on any student athlete, but I just think they should be aware of everything. And I'm really hoping that she updates this to include some of these pitfalls. But what I do like about it is that she has interviews with individuals who've already have hit the curse. And so if you know like I know, personal testimonies carry further than a mentor telling it to them. Yeah. And the other part that I think is interesting is that she makes it clear that you really need to go get the experts. I mean, family members may have your back and you trust them, but they just may not know how to negotiate what's best for you on the other side. And, like, one piece that's interesting, like, I didn't know they didn't get paid until the game starts. You know, you might get a bonus, but, you know, do you really want to make a life-changing decision off a bonus, not knowing you can have recurring money? And for what I understand is that even if you get drafted when preseason starts, and this actually happened, the star quarterback can say, no, I want my former teammate to come, and then you off the roster. So that's after draft day. And you think you got this money and you went out and bought a house. Again, I learned something, and I'm the type of person, when I learn something, I share what I learned. So get this book, Surviving the Life, The Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by the Tawana Smith. And this can be for track folks because they're going professional as well, tennis, golf, and, of course, football and basketball. And so it is on Amazon as well in 3 different formats. It is on paperback, audiobook, and ebook. So get that in your hands. So, again, like I was saying, I believe season 8 has started out with some serious empowerment seeds because I believe seeds are reeds. And so today we're discussing the book, They Carried Us, The Social Impact of Philadelphia's Black Women Leaders, with co-author Fata Traylor. And I think specifically we're covering in Chapter 8, which is a deep dive into the sport realm of black women. And I'm excited because it's really talking about the founders of the Black Women's Sports Foundation, which I'm a former board member and currently on the advisory board. So welcome to the garden, Ms. Traylor.
I am so pleased to be here with you. This is, and I'm happy to know that you that you're currently on the board of the Black Women in Sport Foundation. That's fabulous. I think that Philadelphia is a hotbed of black women's sport. And so I'm happy to help people learn more about that.
Well, outstanding. Yeah, I'm a former board member, but now I'm on the advisory board.
Oh,
I rotated off
okay.
the board, yeah. But, yes, and Tina Sloan Green has been a huge supporter of this format of Chat in the Garden. I think she, I forget what year it was, but I usually host a in-person reception at the convention called NACTA. And one year was in Florida, and I had a timeshare. And I told Tina, I said, well, you know, she was sponsoring the reception. I said, well, I got another bedroom. You and your husband come on down. And we had a great time. We had a great time. And at the reception, we sat up there and ate the rest of the food and watched the NBA playoffs. We've had a couple things. I think one time I gave Tina this great idea. It was not a financially great idea, but it was a great networking idea. The Black Women Sports Foundation had a reception at the U.S. Open with the diversity and inclusion staff at USTA. And so, you know, we sold tickets and I ended up paying for a lot of the tickets because it was my idea, but I got a chance to get my point across of what I wanted to do. And so my husband was there, and again, the Greens and the Smiths sat together. And so I enjoyed the book with the chapter that I read. I'm going to deep dive in that some more. But first, let us talk about you from your college years to your current position.
Well, let me start with my current position, which is that I have finally, after many years, decided that I am an author, actually. But I started out with, you know, working with different kinds of educational institutions, most of them sort of independent, long before the idea of charter schools came out. I founded an independent school. I worked with a local university to try to link the resources of the university to the problems that people were having in their communities. I've worked for 22 years in the field of philanthropy, both in Philadelphia and New York. I've been on the board of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, which is really an international human rights organization. And my friend and colleague, Alina Baker Rogers, who I've always called her Sissy, and her, you know, her, as they say, her government name is Alina Baker Rogers. But, you know, we worked together in Philadelphia on the board of an organization which is now known as Children First, but when we were part of it, it was called Philadelphia Citizens for Children and Youth. And that's how we came together. Mm-hmm. And so she called me up one day, and you can put this in the category of everything that sounds like a good idea, maybe you need to give a second thought to.
Right.
She called me up and said, what do you think about us writing a book about Black women in Philadelphia? And I said, well, gee, that sounds like a good idea. And then 6 years later, we have They Carried Us, The Social Impact of Philadelphia's Black Women Leaders. So
wow.
That's it. That's my journey in a nutshell, although I did omit one thing, and that is that I spent some time at the Philadelphia Inquirer. But, you know, I'm so happy to know that you really enjoyed our sports chapter, because one of the things that we were trying to do, well, first let me tell you a little bit about the whole book and then how the sports piece fits into it, and that is that the book really profiles 95 Black women in Philadelphia who excelled in many different sectors, in medicine, in community activism, in business, in the arts, in journalism and media. So we profiled women who either were born in Philadelphia or who came to Philadelphia. And one of the things that we were determined to do was to lift up the arena of sport as the equal of all these other sectors and areas. That, you know, people need to, can aspire to excellence in sports the same way that we aspire to excellence in the law and in medicine and in wherever. So we really wanted to make sure that the excellent sportswomen who came out of or lived in Philadelphia were part of what we were presenting as the leadership by black women in Philadelphia. So.
Well, I'm going to have to go back a little bit. All right. So did you, you say you're an author. Did you gain, and you say you worked for the Enquirer, in college, what was your major?
Undergraduate degree, economics, master's degree in urban studies, and ABD in sociology.
Okay, okay. And I think the sociology is what really brought this on home, I believe. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that and history. That and history. I mean, I can't really begin to say how important knowing our history is. It's just important to your entire outlook, both as a person, as a business person, as, you know, whatever you're going to do. I mean, one of the things that I thought was really interesting about one of the people that we included in this book, I'm a stone cold tennis fan, okay? And one of the things that has always been sort of sad to me is that people think that Serena and Venus were the first. You know, I mean, some people don't even know about Althea Gibson, but to go back and discover that, you know, that there was a black woman in Philadelphia who was a tremendous tennis champion, Ora Mae Washington, and to discover that just then, just like now, she struggled to make a living. The whole time she was a champion athlete, she worked as a domestic. You know, and that kind of history and knowing that kind of background, you know, it really sort of gives you a different perspective on some of the issues of today.
No doubt.
You know, because history. Yes, and history is really not just about the past. History is really mostly about the future. You know, it's really about where do we want to go from where we've been. And if you don't know where we've been, then that's really, that's problematic.
Wow. I'm looking at your end notes, and you mentioned one of my good friends. She and I served on the very first NCAA Division II committee back, I want to say that was like 95, probably. Roberta Abney, like you pull from her African American Women in Sports article that she wrote for the Journal of Physical Education and Recreation and Dance. And I said that is because most of the people in that's listening are athletic administrators, and and they're listening to get empowerment for them to stay in this business and how to navigate this business. And Roberta is one of those that was a pioneer in it, and you know, if they're anybody who's in a PhD or whatnot, those names would be familiar. And so know mm-hmm. that some of these things that you cover. And so, of course, what I really liked about this, and it's ironic because I just mentioned about the magazine, the second issue coming out. The magazine that we have is written by the individuals. And what I like is that I've known Tina for over almost 20 years, okay? And there are things about her background, her parents' makeup and whatnot, and how she dealt with things. Like, I knew she had a soft voice, but to hear that she, when she taught the class, she used the same strategies I did, because I keep telling people I don't have a coaching voice and I'm not going to be screaming because my voice is already high-pitched. You're not going to say anything I'm saying. And so to see how she addressed it, that I'm doing the same way, gave me hope that, hey, I got some good strategies. Tina Sloan Green used it, you know, using a ball player, somebody you already know, to say, look, I'm going to need your help to calm this class down when I begin to speak. I was like, all right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that was one of the things that we, you know, that we took care to really include in all of the stories, and that is we wanted people not just to know that someone was a champion or a leader, but we wanted people to know how they became that.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that they did? What was in their life? Who did they rely on? Who were their mentors? Mm-hmm. How did their family help them or hurt them? You know, this is, you know, we wanted people to be able to identify with mm-hmm. their journey. And so we deliberately did not just focus on, you know, their athletic excellence. We really focused on their becoming.
Oh, okay. I mean, even though Mrs. Obama has made that a term, becoming, that the way you just said it, it just really, yeah, because it takes some things to become. You just don't pop out and say, hey, here I am. So,
right.
That says something. Well, we're going to take a short commercial here in the Chatting Garden. We'll return talking about this impactful book about Black women in Philadelphia, and we'd concentrate on chapter 8 that are geared to the women in sports in Philadelphia.
Hey, it's Dr. Jasmine George Williams, also known as Dr. G. I'm so excited to share the release of my book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. To learn more about my research and activism, please visit www.drjasmine.com. That's www.drjasmine. Thank you for your support. All power to the people.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chatna Garden with Sniffins, Blooms, in Athletics and Sport. Well, Ms. Traylor, got a couple of questions for you. How were the sports subjects chosen?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. We had something that we called Appendix B, which was like a whole list of the people that we wanted to include in the book, or that were candidates for inclusion in the book. But the main thing that we, the main criterion that we used to choose all of the people in the book, including sports, was we were looking for people who made social impact, who had a social impact. In other words, like, there's lots of people who are successful at various things, like they may get rich or they may, you know, there are many ways that people can be successful. But we were really looking for people who made a social impact. And that's how we chose the people in the sports chapter too. We were looking for people who were looking out beyond their own athletic excellence and who were developing ways to coach, ways of ensuring that female athletes had, the same opportunities as others. I mean, and of course, who comes to mind in that vein is Dr. Lurleen Jones, who sued the School District of Philadelphia to get it to comply with Title IX requirements so that female athletes would have the same opportunities as others. So that social impact issue is really what drew us to these people. A secondary issue really was, what could we find out about these people? Some of them, it was, difficult to, to research their lives because there just wasn't that much about them. And in fact, most of them were only covered even as sports figures by the local black newspaper, the Philadelphia Tribune. They were really generally not covered by the mainstream press. So those were the two criteria. What could we find out about them, and what kind of impact were they, did they have on the city of Philadelphia and the surrounding area? And of course, Tina Sloan Green, black women in sport, when you say black women in sport, you say Tina Sloan Green.
That's
in Philadelphia.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, her impact was so phenomenal and, really uncontroversial. She's, what can I say? Tina Sloan Green.
Yes, yes. It puts a smile to my face. And that's one reason why the magazine has significance, and the reason why I say where significance blooms is because what we do here is not just for ourselves. It's for prosperity, for the others to know that you can do it. And so, yeah, I think we're on the same plane with that. And because I was going to say, what is the social impact that you found from the book? What has been your responses that you've received?
Oh, we've gotten tremendous response to this book. I mean, people in Philadelphia and outside of Philadelphia, because one of the things that people say who read the book outside of Philadelphia is, well, this kind of book needs to be written about my city or my state. You know, there are people where I'm living, in Denver, in New York City, in Chicago, in Oakland, in Louisiana, in, you know, Pensacola, Florida. Every place has a layer of Black women leadership that has generally been ignored or, you know, and that people they're really clamoring to know more about. People in Philadelphia, and this is one of the things that's very interesting. You would think that the people in this book would be known to people in Philadelphia.
But they are not.
They are not. You know? And what we tried to do was even people who, you know, that there may be, you know, some level of knowledge about, we try to bring out things that people might not know. So, you know, I would say that the response to the book has really been phenomenal. We've been working with the School District of Philadelphia. They've got a whole group of teachers who are working to introduce it into the school. We're getting ready to launch a higher ed effort to try to bring some of these stories to, especially for like general ed requirements. Mm-hmm. The response has really been great. It's really been great.
Wow. Well, I have been ecstatic about sharing. You know what, I just thought about it. I don't think because your co-author, she sent me excerpts, but because when you said something about Mae Washington.
Yes,
Mae
Washington.
Yeah, I don't think I read that one. I don't think she sent that. So that means I need to go buy the book.
Well, please do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because I think the stories are, you know, I think that they're exciting, number one.
Yes,
and
they
think
are.
That, you know, one of the things that's exciting right now is that I think that so many more Black women are getting into sport, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not such a niche kind of thing anymore, you know, where you can have, like, a Althea Gibson or, you know. I mean, I just think that, you know, the whole range of sporting activities that people can get into has just really expanded, you know, and I think that that's part of what has been happening about, you know, women in sports in general, and Black women have been part of that as well. So I think that, you know, some of the stories are really excellent from the standpoint of introducing young people to the idea that, oh, man, you mean Black women do fencing? You know,
right.
You know, Black women play lacrosse.
Oh yeah.
You know, there were Black women in the Negro Leagues. You know, so I just think that that's that that's an important part of the history that we need to really convey to young people and old people.
Well, let me ask you this. Elizabeth Taylor Greenfield, is that a ballerina? Yes.
No, she was a classical singer who taught herself. She sang for Queen Victoria. She, you know, just like black women everywhere in every field, people were, you know, making fun of her. You know, they were like, what does she think she is singing classical music? Well, who does she think she is? You know, but she kept at it. And, you know, she was known as the Black Swan.
Okay. You know, okay. That's why I asked, because I was like, a Black Swan? Okay. All right. Yeah. And I, you know what? My fingers went straight to Tina. And so when I strolled up, I saw that I did have those. But yes, I am. I mean, like, I'm an avid reader, period. I see Clara Ward on here. I see Sonny Sanchez. Barbara Chase, Raban, those are authors that I'm very familiar with. Let me ask you a question, and then because I do know these folks, is there a thought of doing another one?
That, we get that question a lot too. Well, let's just say this. We believe that there is enough material to do another one. In other words, we don't want people to think that these 95 women that we profiled are all – there are so many other women who belong in a book like this, okay? Mm-hmm. So many other women. And, you know, we think that they, you know – people deserve to know about them. People should know about them. You know, one of the women in this book, before the pandemic happened, we included Dr. Ayla Stanford in this book. And I don't know whether you know anything about Dr. Ayla Stanford, but she is the founder of the Black Doctors COVID-19 Consortium, which decided that nobody was doing anything about black people and COVID, so she was going to do it. Mm-hmm. And she created a whole testing regimen. She's a pediatric surgeon. She came out of her, you know, her regular thing, you know, working with hospitals and whatever, and designed a whole program. You know, so, I mean, I just think that the way that, you know, the leadership that is shown or that has been shown by so many black women in so many fields, including sports, really deserves to be recognized and celebrated.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I probably won't, but what I will do is, I will, because I did ask your co-author, did she want to advertise on the podcast? And she said you all have a writer that says you all don't advertise. But what I will do, what I will do is I will give to anyone who makes a comment on the post inside the Chatna Garden. Or you email me, Monique A.J. Smith, about our conversation today, and I will gift you the Kindle version of the book. There'll be one person there. One person. And so, because I am really intrigued. And I think Sahara, she made a comment, because I put the book in the group. I said, are you from Philly? And then they liked it. And so hopefully she will respond and I can give the book to her, because she is a young lady who's from Philly, who actually worked for the NCAA for years, and a couple of things that and you can really respect this from a social impact. She's from the sports information director side, and so she ran the championships, but from the media. And one of the things that she assisted with, she went to the powers that be, say, we need to get more minorities in at the COSATA, which is a national convention. And so I know that mm-hmm. for a fact that that's what she did. And so to me, she is a social impact person. And secondly, she helped a lot of women of color get some contract work because she oversaw the World Series for baseball and softball. And so she sought out to her individuals that she knew that were in the business that looked like her and gave them that extra opportunity and extra money and more importantly, extra exposure. So, you know, when you get to those levels, you look for those who go back and reach back. And so I guess I will send to her anyway. So that means I'm going to send that one to her, and I'm going to send one out to another person. So those are the kind of things I was saying. I didn't want to put you in the spot, but if you wanted to do that, that would be a good way to get these in the hands of athletic departments. So that they can.
Well,
be able to
I think what we can do, what we will do, is my co-author and I will talk about this, and you know, because I think that the idea of connecting with athletic directors and others in the sports field. Is something that we have given some thought to. So we'll discuss it and get back to you about
I'm just saying, like this young lady here, I think I would want her to have an autographed version since she's from Philly and she, because Sahara is that. So I think I would, if you were going to send a book to somebody, that's autographed, that would be the one I would say. And I'm just delighted with your info. And because she's a media person, I can see her. I can see that having legs, if you know what I mean. Yeah, it's a two-way street. So, it was ironic. Someone introduced me to your co-author on LinkedIn and said you need to get them. So I appreciate you all finding value in what we do here in the garden, and I just say thank you for putting pen to paper.
Well, thank you for having me. Us, we both wanted to do this podcast, but as I said, my co-author had a death in the family, and so she was unable to be here. But she's here in spirit.
And we send our prayers of comfort to her.
Well, thank you, and I will convey that.
Yes, and thank you to our engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for updates on show guests and podcast guests, follow us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.